This edition of Sunday Night's Main Event is dedicated to the memory of Joseph Hudson.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
AEW announces a new show with The Big Show. Bryan and Uso are set to step into a cage on TV, and we get ready for a sinful Sunday night with the Warlord of Weird. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent, owned, and operated brewery. Support local at greatlakesbeer.com. This week, we'll take a look back at AEW's biggest signing to date and also look forward to their Sunday night pay-per-view debut a week from tonight. So appropriate enough to do that, my co-host for the second hour of tonight's show will be one half of our All Elite Weekly podcast host tandem, Joe Aguinaldo. Along with that, Dave Meltzer will be by to take a deeper dive into the news. We've got the final first-round matchup in the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, but our featured guest tonight is a man that you may remember for his short tenure in WWE as Kazarni. But he was mentioned on NXT TV in previous weeks as the trainer of the newly debuted Zoe Stark. He's now known as the Warlord of Weird. He is Sin. And we'll hear all about his work with Jake Roberts, the Snake Pit Wrestling School in Vegas, and yes, I'll ask what happened to the Kazarni character, which I was a big fan of. That is all to come on tonight's show in the next 2 hours, but let's kick things off with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's Main Event.
Well, obviously the biggest story of the week concerns one of the physically biggest stars of the industry, and that is the announcement of Paul White signing a deal with AEW. AEW announced on Wednesday that White has signed a long-term deal with the company. It was stated that White will have an extensive role within AEW in addition to returning to the ring. White will be a commentator for AEW's new show, AEW Dark Elevation. Now, in regards to that, AEW Dark Elevation will air on AEW's YouTube channel at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Mondays. The new show is taking place in addition to AEW Dark, which will still air on Tuesdays. AEW Elevation will showcase AEW's established and rising stars, as well as the top independent wrestlers within the industry, competing against one another in ring pursuits of wins. White's broadcast partner will be Tony Schiavone. Now, I like both of these guys, don't get me wrong. I was a huge fan of the Big Show show and did reviews every week from that Netflix series, but you gotta think, for upcoming stars, are Tony Schiavone and Paul White the best two guys on commentary to get new talent over? Guess we'll find out. AEW then announced later in the week that White will be making his first appearance on this week's AEW Dynamite. This week's AEW Dynamite conveniently featuring the debut of Shaq. Interesting. Interesting. Hey, it's appointment programming for me. Looking forward to see what they do. On the Tuesday edition of Wrestling Observer Radio, AEW President Tony Khan said he's interested in talking with the former Zelina Vega. When asked about his interest in the former WWE talent, Khan said that he thought Vega, aka Thea Trinidad Bogdan, was still under a 90-day no-compete clause and that he had been waiting for that to pass. In that same interview, Khan also revealed some AEW broadcasting plans, confirming that at some point this year, AEW will have two shows on TNT and two shows on YouTube. Dear Mr. Khan, more is not more. Please be careful. In our weekly Wednesday ratings peak, AEW Dynamite averaged 831,000 viewers. That's up 11.2% from last week. And NXT was up 2.9%, averaging 734,000 viewers. In case you missed it, because I know I did, on this week's episode of Talking Smack, it was announced that Daniel Bryan, will face Jey Uso in a steel cage match next Friday on SmackDown. If Bryan wins, he'll challenge for Reigns' Universal Championship at Fastlane, but if Uso wins, Bryan has to acknowledge Reigns as the tribal chief, head of the table, blah, 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 all that stuff. And then he'll go on to main event WrestleMania versus Edge. At least that is presumably. So that's happening. WWE announced a new crop of trainees for the Performance Center this week that includes some familiar names, including Taya Valkyrie, Booker T trainee, wrestler AQA, Lacey Ryan, who is now known as Zoe Stark, and we'll talk to Sin, her trainer, a little bit later in the show, Priscilla Kelly, now known as Gigi Dolan, Elena Black, now known as Cora Jade, and indie wrestlers Cameron Brené, Avery Taylor, and Carissa Rivera. Plus, on the guy side of things, Bronson Reichsteiner. Yeah, that is Rick Steiner's son, Parker Bordeaux, Matrix Belton, former Impact World Champion Eli Drake, now known as LA Knight, indie wrestlers Anthony Henry, Harlem Bravado, Christian Casanova, and Blake Christian, as well as amateur wrestlers Drew Casper and Joe Areola, all of them signed and part of the new crop at the NXT Performance Center. Obviously, looking at those names, you know, very in levels of experience when you consider Taya Valkyrie is in there, as is Eli Drake. We'll see how quick Taya Valkyrie manages to get on TV. Former Ring of Honor wrestler Kelly Klein filed a discrimination lawsuit against Ring of Honor and St. Clair Broadcasting this past Wednesday. In the suit, Klein is claiming discrimination and harassment, an unsafe work environment, breach of implied contract, unpaid royalties, violations of both state and federal equal pay acts, and abusive discharge. Listed in the suit was ROH General Manager Greg Gilliland, Chief Operating Officer Joe Koff, Booker, Producer, and Trainer Hunter Johnson, and Jay Lethal, a.k.a. Jamar Shipman. She is seeking $75,000. Speaking of Ring of Honor, on the brighter side of things for them, signings continue as it was announced on Thursday that EC3 has signed a new contract with Ring of Honor. ROH's announcement stated EC3 is making ROH his home. Jon Moxley defeated Kenta to retain the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship on Friday night's New Japan Strong Show. This match had been taped months ago, so there was no endangerment to Moxley, who is working the very dangerous main event versus Kenny Omega next week at AEW Revolution. Hiromu Takahashi has officially vacated the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. This happened at the Road to Castle Attack event. Hiromu came out to start the show. He said that for the sake of the Junior Heavyweight division, he would relinquish the title. He then asked Bushi to wrestle in his place at the Castle Attack on February 28th against El Fantasmo. Takahashi did so because he tore his left pectoral muscle on February 19th during a match where he teamed with Shingo Takagi to defeat Honma and Ibushi. After initially being taken off the tour for evaluation, it was announced that he would miss up to 6 months due to the injury, hence the relinquishing of the title. In a joint statement, New Japan and CMLL assured fans that their relationship is unwavering. The statement noted that CMLL will continue to be the exclusive business partner of New Japan Pro Wrestling in Mexico. This is rather interesting since New Japan's doors with AEW seem to be opening up, and AEW is clearly open to working with AAA since Kenny Omega still holds the AAA Mega Championship. And as we know, AAA and CMLL, intense rivals in the Mexican market. Very interesting when companies intertwine. In other New Japan news, Marty Scurll worked the recent New Japan Strong tapings in California. This came out this week via a report from Fanbyte and Fightful. Scurll was at the January 22nd day of taping. It is unknown how many shows he will appear on as part of the tapings and when they will air or what future he has in the company. Io Shirai has appeared in a promotional video celebrating Stardom's 10th anniversary with the NXT Women's Championship. Now, this is interesting because it was recently reported that Kairi Sane expressed interest in working with the company for an anniversary show, but WWE rejected the idea. Former pro wrestling promoter Jim Crockett Jr. is presently hospitalized and said to be not doing well, according to the Facebook account of Crockett Sports Promotions. You'll remember the 76-year-old Crockett owned Jim Crockett Promotions, a pro wrestling company affiliated with the National Wrestling Alliance between 1977 and 1989. They were the number one competitor for Vince McMahon during those years. And finally, a sad and rather shocking note to end off on this week. Joseph Hudson, known as both Josephus and the question mark in the National Wrestling Alliance, has passed away. Josephus is best known for his run in the NWA following Billy Corgan's acquisition of the brand in 2017. He feuded with then NWA World Heavyweight Champion Tim Storm, leading to two title matches, one in 2017, one in 2018, both unsuccessful for Josephus. Prior to the NWA shutting down production due to COVID-19, he had aligned himself with Aaron Stevens under the masked persona, The Question Mark. He also portrayed a young Bruiser Brody in the Dark Side of the Ring documentary series. According to a tweet from Dutch Mantel, his suspected cause of death was either a stroke or aneurysm, but details are still presenting themselves. A break we shall take. When we come back, Dave Meltzer will be along to take a deeper dive into the news. Don't forget, though, still in this hour, Sin will join us. And next hour, Joe Aguinaldo is here to break down the week that was in pro wrestling. That's what we do every week. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks imbalance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
Thanks for listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on the radio. I have been talking wrestling on Sunday nights for about 20 years. And hey, I talk wrestling all through the week. And if you want more of what you're hearing right now, just sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. You get content about pro wrestling each and every day. Only $1 a week, patreon.com/SNMEradio.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. Guess who's back? With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. We are now getting a little bit deeper into the news with the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer, on the line. Dave, the big news, the big show to AEW. I have to say, I was very surprised by this.
So was I. You know, like, usually I think one of the things is because he was not an active wrestler in WWE and wasn't jobbed out at the end, you just kind of, he wasn't really on the radar of people that you would think of to come over. And his contract with WWE ended, and he wasn't happy with the offer that WWE made, and AEW made him a better offer, and he came in, he's going to be an announcer, and he will wrestle. Probably not regularly, and hopefully not regularly. They made a deal, and a multi-year deal. So he's going to be, you know, and I think he'll probably do a lot of media and be like one of the faces of the company. Because from a mainstream standpoint, name recognition-wise to media, you know, because of his size and all the years in WWE, he's a more recognizable name than most of the people that they have.
He's also an extremely charismatic and nice and media savvy individual as well.
Very good talker in public, very funny. You know, and also I think no one has told me this, but I know the lay of the land, and one of the advantages of being in AEW versus WWE for him is he does, you know, he's done his Netflix show,
yep.
he's done a lot of acting gigs. And when you're in WWE doing acting gigs, they have to approve everything, and they do the negotiations, and, you know, a lot of times they turn things down, and they're considered hard to deal with. And I would say that with AEW, the odds are that it's like, you know, go do your thing, and if you need, you know, if you're going to a movie and you need to take 8 weeks off, you know, do it. They're a lot easier to work with for, you know, and again, and that's got to be, at his age, you know, one of the things he's got to be wanting to do is more of that,
yeah.
and less of the wrestling. So I think that that's also probably some of it.
It makes total sense from Paul White's part. Also, just the way that he would be treated on camera as well. I mean, AEW now does have a reputation of treating their legends quite well. And the last time we saw Big Show was him sitting in the chair as Randy Orton berated him and called him old.
Right. And did, well, you know what? That was probably, you know, I mean, when you look at the timing of it and everything, his contract was probably up and they probably were not, you know, there was probably, an argument about money and everything like that. And it's, you know, I mean, that is WWE and traditional wrestling. It's not just WWE in the sense that on the way out, you minimize the guy and try to, like, you know, bury the guy on the way out.
You're right. I didn't even think about that, but you're right. It does time out.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't when it happened because I didn't know about the contract situation. But in hindsight, you know, you look back and it's just like, okay, you know, the last, you know, you use him to get Randy Orton over because you're not going to sign him for another big deal.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, now here's the big question, Dave, and you know I'm going to ask it, and I'm sure other people have asked it. It was the first thing I thought of. You have Big Show showing up, making an appearance on this week's Dynamite. Just happens to be the same Dynamite that Shaq will be on for the tag match. Can Tony Khan make Big Show versus Shaq happen? Because we have talked extensively about how they need that mainstream coverage. And those two standing face-to-face is on every sports show all over North America.
You know, you would think that the timing of him being signed, there's probably that idea. And, you know, I mean, it's the logical thing to expect that somehow they're going to be face-to-face. And, like, this is not a pay-per-view match. So maybe the idea is you use this for the ratings match, and then you build it for, you know, maybe the Memorial Day pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, his Big Show's first match with a new, or Paul White's first match with a new company, with his new company against Shaq. I mean, it's really almost, like, I can't think of a reason not to. It's almost a no-brainer. You know, it's almost like somebody handed you, you know, the timing of it looks like, you know, of course you do this, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know that they're doing it. But I when I saw the, you know, the timing and everything, it's like at some point, you know, there should be some interplay between those two on TV Wednesday night, in my mind. Unless, for whatever reason, Shaq has just said, I'm only going to do this one thing, I want to do it with Cody, and that's it. And if that's the case, then there's no point in doing it. But if Shaq wants to do something else, you got the guy, and yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Yep. All right, let's talk Sting. I was shocked to see him powerbombed 2 weeks ago. I was pretty surprised to see him in the ring this week. We had thought and we had talked that this might be a cinematic match at Revolution, but after the powerbomb and the interplay this week, is it just a regular match coming up in a week?
I was told a cinematic match, but I'll check. But yeah, I've been told all along it's a cinematic match.
Were you surprised at Sting taking that powerbomb?
Yes.
Did you cringe like we did?
Yeah. Well, see, he's in the air, and I'm thinking Darby saving him, Darby saving him, Darby, boom, boom. And it's like, oh my God, he really took it. I mean, because, you know, again, the age in the neck, it scared me. You know, it's like, oh, God, and it was hard, and Brian Cage is a strong guy, and it was almost like, man, I hope he gets up, because if he doesn't, boy, will there be hell to pay, because everyone will go, you're reckless with. I mean, his neck injury is well known to everyone. His age is not a secret, and, I mean, obviously, you know, if he didn't want to take it, he wasn't going to take it, and he feels good, and he was checked out. Even so, yeah, it scared me.
It does really feel, by what we've seen of Sting on AEW, that he is walking in here with something to prove, and he is trying to go out on his own terms.
Well, he absolutely is trying to go out on his own terms. That is, and go out with respect with WWE. I mean, again, Sting was there to put people over because he was older and he wasn't Vince McMahon's legend. And they don't treat legends that well anyway. I mean, there's ways to do it. You know, you don't want them to, but they use them a lot. It's a weird thing. They use them a lot for marquee value. But then, like so many times when you watch WWE and you watch legends, you end up being sad. And I think the legends should make you happy. I mean, sometimes there is a time for, you know, having them put people over or whatever to get the younger guys over. But with WWE, it's like it is more sad than happy when you watch one of those guys most of the time. Obviously, you know, Bill Goldberg winning the title from Brock Lesnar would have been the total opposite of that, but more often than not, it's the other way around.
Now, the first two people that we've talked about this week in our conversation, both with AEW, have a combined age of 110 years old, 49 and 61. They, you know, as much as I think Big Show is a glowing personality and I like this presence of Sting, they do have got to be careful here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's like, I don't want to say I'm against the signing of Big Show, but it depends on how he's used. It could be a negative. I don't think that you want too many old guys, especially you're building a new brand. It's like, you know, one legend like Sting, like I've never said nothing bad about them using Sting because, you know, you can argue the way they use him as far as like, you know, similar segments week after week, and that's a valid argument. But the usage of Sting and the signing of Sting, I thought was good. But then it's in my mind, it's like you really don't want, like, you've got Jake that younger fans can't relate to. I think Tully's a good part of the thing, but you don't want such an aged look. And that's the one thing that I fear from AEW. I mean, they have a lot of really good young guys. It is a mix, but wrestling is a young man's sport, and you know, again, like a few older guys is good, but you know, I wouldn't be rushing to sign anymore. And you know, Big Show again, like, you know, hopefully he ends up being like a really good announcer, and you can always do the announcer, you know, coming off the bench and do an angle with the announcers. Those always work. So there's ways to use Big Show that are effective. And the Shaq thing obviously is a no-brainer. So it's like, when you think about it, it's not that bad. But still, I was concerned. It's like, another guy of that age from WWE. Also, I don't like overloading with WWE guys, even though they are better known. I think that you want to build your own brand and your own variety of stars and your own concept rather than be, you know, we already know recycled WWE isn't going to work.
Yeah, we've seen it a few times. Let's chat WWE. Asuka was just knocked silly by Shayna on Monday. Also, Morrison seemed to be injured. Do we have any updates on either one of these performers?
Morrison hurt his knee, but I don't have any update as far as anything, whether it's serious or not, because he was limping pretty bad later and not moving well. Asuka looked like she was knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when it comes to concussions, WWE is always quiet. So, in fact, when it comes to Asuka, they have been quiet. If she's not on the show wrestling this week, that's probably a sign. If she is, then she probably didn't get a concussion because, the one thing that you have to say for WWE is they're very careful when it comes to concussions. I mean, I know that there have been exceptions you could say, but generally speaking, they are, and it was right on TV, and everybody saw it, and everybody knew, and you could see she blanked out. So, you know, we'll see this week, I guess. We'll see tomorrow.
Marty Scurll, working with New Japan. What is the story here?
They signed him to work. It surprised me. It was it's a move that's going to cause a lot of controversy. I would have, you know, I mean, there's... You know, I don't want to say what I would have done, but I think it would have been safer for New Japan to work him in Japan because in Japan there would be no controversy. Whether you would want to do that or not is a different aspect. I'm just talking about the controversy aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But in the United States, there's going to be. It's going to be viewed negatively. Then again, maybe they look at WWE and there's people in WWE that you know, have had accusations and they're on TV every week in some cases, and it goes away, and maybe they just think it's long enough and it's gone away. I don't know. But my gut is I don't think that they know the U.S. landscape.
Right.
And I think that bringing Marty Scurll onto that show was an example of not understanding the U.S. landscape.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, Dave, that is awesome for this week. On The Observer, the awards are out, and you actually did a podcast, and you had Tony Khan on with you the whole time.
Yeah, that was really, you know, it's funny because some people are you know, of course, you're going to get mad that Tony Khan even did the show, but there was a lot of insight to a lot of things over the year that were out of that podcast. I mean, it's like, it was a really unique podcast. And also, one of the other things is there's certain things that happened in unique time, like we were actually on the air on Thursday afternoon when the ratings came in and the reaction of me and him. And it was interesting because we both kind of it's like we got the viewer number, and it was like, well, what's the demo? And it wasn't out yet, and it was both of us. It's kind of like, well, then that's kind of meaningless. And I think that, like, everyone, like, is in there, and I don't think they understand that, like, the total viewer number is basically, when it comes to television, to them, it's like, you know, he even said, it's like, look, you know, it's always good to have more viewers, but they sell their ad rates based on the demo, and they share in revenue sharing with Turner. So for money, the demo's the number, and for everyone it is. It's like everyone will look like when that first number comes up, or compare the total viewers. And there's you know, you can look at that, ups and downs and things like that, and there's things to learn from it. I'm not saying it's a meaningless stat, but the meaningful stat, as you know, mm-hmm. is the viewers in the key age group and selling the ads. That's what it's all about. But between that and just the talk of the you know, how they put the Brody Lee show together, you know, I mean, is absolutely fascinating. And then, you know, the talk about, you know, there's a lot of stuff that he talked about when it came to the starting up during the pandemic, and like the wrestlers that were there being really concerned, which I'd never heard. And then there were certain things about certain injuries and things and plans that had changed during the year that was news to me. It's like, and I was, you know, around listening. It's like, oh, I didn't know it went down this way. So it was like, I found it to be a fascinating show. And then also, you know, obviously he's gonna favor his own guys, but he watches everything. And, you know, I mean, the other one that I thought was so interesting, I mean, well, it's I wouldn't want to really spoil it, but just the reaction to people from other companies, and you know, it was very positive. I actually found the show very fascinating.
It is a fun show. Check it out. Become a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com and hear lots more of Dave's podcast like we get to do here each week. Dave, thank you so much. Next week, we're going to do a preview show for AEW Revolution, and hope to chat with you at the same time.
Awesome.
Find all of Dave's work at WrestlingObserver.com, as I mentioned, and mention each and every week. Now, we are going to take a break, but come on back. Turnbuckle Trivia is next, followed by our interview with Sin Bodhi, followed by another hour with Joe Aguinaldo as my co-host. Stick with us. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event, and this is our final of the first round of the tournament. I know I've called it first and second. There was a qualifying round, but this is our final matchup of the first round. And with that, it means number 8 faces number 9. This should be the most equal match that we've had in the tournament. And first up, Brad the Dad placed 8th. Hello, Brad. How you doing?
I'm great. I am playing this in memory of my... he's still alive, but he's not playing in this contest. My fellow East Coast dad... I am definitely there representing the East Coast dads today.
Yeah. Greg didn't make it through. I think he plays second to last. So he had a real tough go in the qualifying round. So you're trying to keep the East Coast dads alive in the tournament. You, however, are playing James. James, how was your week of viewing?
Not bad, as long as you consider viewing just being AEW and listening to The Observer about everything else.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes then. That might be a tough go. It's Brad versus James, and here we go. Turnbuckle Trivia, 5 questions each. Let's get to it. Brad, first question is for you. The biggest news of the week is Big Show Paul White signing with AEW. It was said he will be a commentator on what new AEW series?
AEW Dark Elevation.
That is correct. Very good for your first point. James, follow-up question. Who was announced as Paul / Big Show's commentary partner on that show?
Tony Schiavone,
an easy one there. Very good. Brad, back to you. On SmackDown, what match did Edge and Adam Pearce claim he was supposed to be a part of at Fastlane? So Edge was supposed to be a part of what match at Fastlane?
A tag team match.
Yes, but who is in it?
He and Christian?
You are incorrect already. Edge and Daniel Bryan versus the Usos and versus Jey Uso and Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Sorry, Brad. Yeah. The match that came out of nowhere, by the way. Never reported before seeing it on SmackDown that night. James, to you. On SmackDown, what T-shirt was Edge wearing? This doesn't bode well for you, considering what you just told me.
I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
It is the Andre the Giant T-shirt he was wearing. All right, 2 wrong answers. They're still tied 1-1. Back to you, Brad. On Raw, what did Matt Riddle nickname the Bird on the U.S. title?
Tyson?
It was not Tyson. You got the T. It was Travis. James, to you, you might get this. Due to Mia Yim having the name Reckoning, what is the new name of Damian Priest's finisher?
Look at the sky, something like that.
Well, if you looked at the sky and you were inside, there would be lights above you, and if you hit those lights, you would have the name Hit the Lights, but that's not quite a correct answer, but Hit the Lights is what I was looking for. Back to you, Brad. Who took on Io Shirai on NXT?
Her last name is Stark.
I'm going to give this one to you. That's fine. I'm going to give you that. And James, I'm going to allow you just a last name for the next one. It is Zoe Stark. So that is a correct answer right there. Trainee, of course, of our guest tonight, Sin. So James, to you, you can just do one of his names. Who attacked Leon Ruff on NXT?
Isaiah Swerve Scott.
You got them all, and that is your point as well. Okay, so...
That's 3 points.
Final question each here. It is 2-2. Never mind those 3 points, James. Brad, your question. On Dynamite, who did Sting have in a body bag?
Oh, he had... It's his kid. He has a terrible name.
Brad, you are buzzed out. I'm sorry. Yeah, out of time on the 5-second row. I was counting on my fingers there. It is Taz's kid, and his name is Hook. At least that's what they call him. Terrible name is correct, but I can't give you the point. James, for the win. On Dynamite, who did Matt Hardy toss off the ramp?
Five.
Oh,
Alan Angels.
That is correct. Alan Angels, number 5. Once again, you got all 3 of the possible answers there, James. And with that, you have got the win 3-2. The first upset of this round. James, you took out the big-time babyface of the entire tournament.
Well, here goes my heel turn.
There you go, Brad. I appreciate you playing. I'm sad to see you go. You are the ultimate babyface, Brad the dad, but James has got you this week.
Well, that's okay. I should have not gotten the point for the Stark question.
Well, I wanted to be nice, and I was. You're kind of right, Brad. So it was pretty much a 3-1 win. He's got you. Thanks for playing, guys. James, I'll talk to you in round 2.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Brad. Have fun.
The upset has happened, and our squeaky clean babyface has been bounced from the tournament. And we are also done our first round. A lot happening here. For everybody that's in the tournament, I will be in touch this week to let you know when you are playing. I think everyone will be playing next Saturday in a taping, so no one can leak the topic. It'll be one topic the whole day long. Thematic for the next round, friends. I won't make you watch all the TV as I made you do this round. Coming up next here on the show, though, we go to Sin's City. Yeah, we're going to chat with Sin, the former Kazarni from WWE, is coming up next right here on Sunday night's main event.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matt Ederer.
Together, we're the Young Guns.
I would like to acknowledge the fact that we are in our 30s.
Anyways, as winners of the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon Podcast Contest, we now have a weekly show.
That show is called NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT.
The show drops every Thursday, and the only way you can listen is if you're a patron. So if you aren't, you can sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And remember, we're the Young Guns.
And the show is NXT Talk.
Supporting local is more important than ever. Grab your morning coffee from a local cafe. Buy some fresh bread from your local bakery. Visit your neighborhood mom and pop shop or visit their online store. Grab lunch or dinner from a bar or restaurant on your block. Scoop some beer from your favorite fiercely independent craft brewery. Local business needs your love and your support. Prop up your neighbors, shop local. The money you spend stays within your community. Now crack a beer as a reward. Because you deserve it, and so do they. Support local never tasted so good. A kind message from your friends at Great Lakes Brewery. GLB, brewed for you, Ontario.
It's a sin. It's a sin.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. It is time for our featured interview of the week. And this one, well, for me, it goes back about 20 years to someone I used to watch with the Apocalypse Wrestling Federation in Toronto. Now, that was a promotion that was run by Ron Hutchinson. I mean, Ron Hutchinson, who we've had on this program before, trainer of Edge and Christian and Trish Stratus, and also Sin Bodhi. Now, that name for NXT viewers may be familiar with a recent mentioning from Beth Phoenix, because he is the trainer of Zoe Stark. But you may also remember Sin for a brief run in the WWE as Kazarni, a gimmick that I loved and a gimmick that is actually pulled from a lot of Sin's real life, since he worked in freak shows as a strongman. So I've always said, you know, best characters are extensions of oneself, and that was very much an extension of Sin. So why didn't it work? Well, I will pose that question in this interview. We'll also talk a little bit about Zoe Stark, his current life in Vegas, and his affiliation with Jake the Snake Roberts, who he has been there for the ups and the downs. Now, do keep in mind, this is a portion of this interview. The whole half-hour interview is going to be available uncut tomorrow at patreon.com/SNMEradio. So it is a Patreon exclusive thing. And Sin did warn me that he does tend to go off course here and there. So throughout this interview, you may actually hear the edits. I couldn't avoid it. He loves to chat. And he warned me that he's been body slammed and pal driven for a living, so sometimes he strays off course. So I did my best to keep him on course in the interview, and when I couldn't do that, I did it with editing. So here is a portion of my interview with Sin Bodhi. We have crossed paths many a time back in the day, dating back to AWF. I'm talking Hutchie up here in Toronto. And then a couple years ago, I'm walking, I think it was on Fremont Street, on vacation in Vegas, and there's the name, Sin Bodhi. Sin City has become Sin's City. How long have you been in Vegas?
So I moved here originally in 2010, and I've been here off and on. I moved to LA for a short spell, and I moved back to Florida for a short spell. Like, I was in Florida before Vegas. But for the most part, I've been here for just over a decade, and I love it here. It's a beautiful city, filled with a lot of beautiful people, and the scenery is wonderful. The city's, I mean, it's human. It's adult kindergarten. It's one of the funnest cities in the world. How can you not enjoy Las Vegas? You know,
hey, it's one of my favorite places in the world. It is my favorite place in the world, but only for 4 days at a time, because I lose a lot of money when I go there. So I take it you've gotten through that and are beyond that. So you're down there, you got a school going on, and I know you run shows because, I mean, maybe talking pre-pandemic, but when did the school come into play?
So when I first moved to Las Vegas, a very newly opened show was Future Stars of Wrestling, run by Joe DeFalco and Rocky T. So I was fresh off of SmackDown, and I was looking to do, you know, I was angry, I was frustrated, I was kind of creatively backed up. I wanted to kind of poop out all this creativity that I had all lodged up in my guts. I wanted just to get it out for the world to slip and slide on. And so I quickly got into bed with FSW, Future Stars of Wrestling. It is your basic kind of like your sports entertainment-esque show.
Right.
So I ended up coaching there for quite a long time, and I got my fingerprints on, you know, your Chris Bays and your Karrion Crosses and so forth, and a lot of other wonderful talent. And then so me and Jake the Snake and D'Lo opened up the Snake Pit. And then again, soon after, we just thought it's better for us to be under the same roof. So the premier show kind of got in bed with the premier school. And, you know, now I'm very proud to be a part of Future Stars of Wrestling and be a part of the Snake Pit, which is all kind of one and the same. Like, our ring is affectionately known as the Snake Pit.
Now, you mentioned Jake the Snake there, and of course, calling it the Snake Pit, of course, something to do with Jake. And now here's a guy who we've all seen what he's gone through. Yes, you are wearing the shirt right now as well. But we've all seen what Jake has gone through, whether it be the DDP documentary or reading about him online. You know, watching him on AEW, now paired with Lance Archer there, I see you post about this all the time. This has, and someone you've known him for so long, like, this has to be a great feeling watching this guy back on television now, knowing all that he's been through.
Absolutely. So I've been with Jake at the worst of the worst and the best of the best. Jake the Snake and I are damn near best pals. I want to say I'm lucky. I think if you can say you have one best friend in this world, you're lucky. So I've got a good half a handful of.
So when you saw that Jake had, you know, had got back into working with AEW, did you worry at all? Because, you know, getting back kind of on the road and doing stuff with the boys again, was there anywhere on your part, being one of his very good friends, that there was a chance for relapse?
Actually, the exact opposite way. Jake would have a tendency to relapse when he's bored. He'll, from his mouth, oh, idle hands. He's like, if I'm bored, I'm just going to start looking for trouble. When he's creatively stimulated, he's all in. Pardon the pun.
Well done.
But if he can, you know, and Lance Archer is amazing. He's a good buddy of mine, very talented dude. When you have a Hall of Famer, you know, a psychological master like Jake at your disposal, how can you only do nothing but get better?
Well, so you've learned a lot, and you do credit Jake for learning and being around him. And now you're passing on a lot of the knowledge that you've learned in your, 25 years rustling around the ring. Tell me about Zoe Stark, a.k.a. Lacey Ryan. You know, she just made her debut on NXT. Was she always a standout at school?
From the moment I met Lacey, Zoe, Teresa's her real name.
Okay.
We'll just go Zoe for fan purposes. Sure. The moment I saw her, I thought, this person has so much to offer. This person is going to be great. She was already great when I got my hands on her about 2 years ago. So she got her basic training from Tom Howard, who was one of the guys that helped train John Cena and Samoa Joe and The Miz and guys like that way back in California. Like when when Cena was in the prototype. Phase and all that stuff. So Tom had trained Zoe in her basics, like how to bump, how to hit the ropes, how to do this and that. And then when she came to me, it was kind of like the psychology stuff. Like, it was sort of like how I was already trained by Hutchinson, and then I went to Jake to get all the little nuances and the devil in the details. So she came to me for that. Like, she literally moved to Las Vegas to train. That, like, she is not from Las Vegas. She resides in Las Vegas. But she came to our school so we could train together. And I was super flattered at that. And I mean, she had just, every time I walk into the building, she's there. Like, she puts in the time, she puts in the work. She's in the gym every day. As far as the young wrestlers, I'm never going to be that gruff old school guy looking down my nose at new school. I'm never going to be that new school guy looking down my nose, excuse me, at old school. I'm always going to be open-minded. I'm going to be somewhere in between where I think old school and new school is very much like peanut butter and jelly. You smash it together, it makes a hell of a sandwich. So with Zoe, you know, she embodies old school stuff. She embodies new school stuff. And I mean, I really tried to put it in her head, you know, to over prepare her for a place like NXT, where whatever they're going to throw at her, I'd like to think I've given her some pretty good tools. And she is so athletic and she is so passionate. She just absorbed. Like, she is like, we trained her like G.I. Jane. She is G.I. Jane. Like, there is nothing that they're going to do to her that she can't physically and mentally handle.
So she's already in NXT and she's working at the Performance Center. And, you know, you said some really positive things speaking about the Performance Center and NXT. You also did mention earlier that when you moved to Vegas, you were angry. You were hot off SmackDown and you were angry. I don't want to drag us down too much, but I've actually never heard the Kazarni story. I was stoked when you got there. I was about to call you Nick. So I'm going to call you Nick because that's how I knew you back in the day. And it's talking to wrestlers is so weird when you know them on a personal basis. Cause I was like, you know, I was stoked for you, Nick, when you were going on to be Kazarni. I even liked the gimmick because I knew you from being here in Toronto and you were also working the freak show scene, as you just mentioned. So I'm like, wow, they're giving him something. I always say the best characters are extensions of oneself. And I'm like, what? He is set up in a position to succeed, but then it didn't quite happen. And I'm just curious, what did happen there?
So, okay. So, you know, when I had my meetings with Vince, he was very happy. You know, he's very excited to push this new character. I was legit. And the reason I was one of the guys picked to go up in that sort of that little group of guys, like individually, but Vince wanted, I guess like he had people coming up and they weren't ready yet. And he was kind of pissed off, I guess. So he had kind of sent a little mandate down to Dusty and Dr. Tom and Kern and those guys. I think my dog's about to bark and lose his mind at the mailman, the old cliche. So I'm sorry if my dog barks. And he's like, I want people that are TV ready now, that I don't have to do anything to, that I don't have to change anything. I want people ready to go. So I was, I want to say one or two of the first picks of this group of five of us. It was me, Ziggler, Swagger, Byron Saxton, and I think DJ Gabriel. And so I think I was like the first pick of that litter. And when I met with Vince, he was like, okay, we're going to do big things. I really am going to enjoy that. Like, you're fun to look at. You're fun character. Like, you, I like how we can, you know, our personability between us, we got along great. And so I know, you know, I had rumors of some of the storylines that they were getting ready to do. And so I was stoked. So, like, you know, kind of not to jinx Zoe Stark or Karrion Kross, but how they were sort of fast tracked because people like them and they're like, ooh, these guys can hang, they can work, they can go, they're believable. Let's push that forward. So I think that's what Vince had intended for me. And then there was nothing that was directly at me, but it was like I was collateral damage on some stuff backstage that had nothing to really do with me. That comboed with, I don't know if they were budget cuts or whatever they want to say, but I never got a definitive answer. But the closest thing I could say was there was just some collateral damage backstage, is this politest way to, most professional way to kind of put it. So it just got cut short. It wasn't because they weren't happy with anything. It was because just something got cut short for some guilty by association reasoning.
My thanks to Sin Bodhi for taking some time out of the Vegas lifestyle. Well, I guess it's a little bit less now since we're in a pandemic. Keep in mind, this is a portion of this interview. The whole half-hour interview is going to be available uncut tomorrow at patreon.com/snmeradio. So it is a Patreon exclusive thing. And to end things off, if you get the chance, go and check out his Instagram at Sin Bodhi. The figures he makes are so cool. These customized figures, if you're a collector, this is a must. Getting a customized figure from Sin. Check it on out at Sin Bodhi on Instagram. Very, very cool. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the whole second hour is myself and Joe Aguinaldo looking back at this week's wrestling, looking forward to 1 week from tonight, where we're going to get AEW's pay-per-view debut on Sunday nights with Revolution. All of that is to come. Stick with us, a whole nother hour of Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. At school they taught me how.
Dan the Mouth Bransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNME Radio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
It's our final segment on Sunday Night's Main Event, and we've saved AEW till this segment. Now, my co-host for this hour is Joe Aguinaldo, and he is the host of All Elite Weekly, our podcast on our Patreon, which means you can get Joe and Dan the Mouth Lavransky each and every week going through segment by segment AEW Dynamite. Subscribe and get that podcast. So, Joe, a lot of people listening are patrons already. They've heard you and Mouth go through this. But again, I do want to revisit Big Show here and talk about that, because Paul White signing with AEW is, pardon the pun, but it's a very big signing. What are your thoughts on Big Show and the proper utilization? Or is it good? Is it bad? Like, where do you stand on this?
Okay, so my initial reaction, because I was working, I believe, when it was Wednesday when you guys announced it, and I was, you know, I was working, so I don't normally check in a lot unless I have a little bit of a break. So, you know, when I saw it, I was like, WTF, holy crap, that's amazing. And then my immediate thought was, all right, so we have this match with Shaq coming up. Yeah. They've announced that he's got a wrestling license. Oh, and Cody's injured, isn't he? Yeah. So, like, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would love to see, like, with the show next week, Shaq, you know, versus Big Show, Paul White, where you know, like, Cody says, hey, I'm injured, but I have a replacement, and then Paul White walks in.
Ooh, Joe, that's so fast, though. Do you want that right away, or do you want to save that match? I don't know how you get out of, I'm very interested in this week's Dynamite show. I just don't know how you get out of what you're doing with Cody and Shaq, which I have no interest in order to proceed to the spectacle of Paul White and Shaq. I do definitely foresee nose to nose in a carefully shot picture where the AEW logo is in the background. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got to get AEW over, so this is the shot. I have a vision of Hogan, that legendary shot of Hogan and Andre at WrestleMania 3, but instead it's Shaq and Big Show. And listen, I know it's not that level, but just that as a standard shot of these two giants standing across from one another.
See, the only other way I could see them getting out of it, assuming that they've, you know, got a, let's say, a multiple match deal with Shaq. Okay. So assuming that they have that, then the only other way I can see this happening is Cody comes in and basically they beat him down, and then Paul White makes the save.
And that's bad for Cody.
Yes. Yes, it is. This is a very weird situation, right?
Like, he gets thrown around by Jade and Shaq. And I also don't think that Shaq will do a believable beatdown.
No. And like, again, that's the problem, is that, like, even if you do have this multiple match thing, unless you bring someone in that can actually work, then, you know, like, you've got to have it where, like, sort of to your point, you've got to have it where Paul White is, let's say he's on commentary and he's like, all right, I've had enough. And he, you know, rips off the mic from his, you know, the headphones, and he runs down to the ring. Right.
Yeah. Paul White on commentary, you mentioned there. I love Paul White as an actor. Mark and I did our reviews of the Big Show show on the website, and I've liked him in all his fun little roles in Hollywood where he pops up. He is an innately funny human being. I honestly do not know if he and Tony Schiavone are the right team to get over young talent on AEW Dark Elevation.
Yeah, I'm going to hold judgment on that. I have heard him on interviews and podcasts, and he seems to be well spoken. He seems to be pretty quick.
He is.
on his feet. But yeah, that is a weird combination to have, pushing, indie talent for lack of a better word. Is Paul White even watching that stuff? Is he even familiar with that stuff? You know what I mean? So yeah, very curious to see how it goes. I would almost think like an Excalibur maybe and Paul White might be a better fit, because Excalibur could do like sort of the background of all the wrestlers, and then Paul White could talk about sort of the athleticism in the ring and what's that performer feeling or whatever, right? So yeah, I'm very, very curious to see how this all works out.
Let's talk about the women's tournament. I mean, you mentioned Excalibur. He was the guy who went ahead and did solo commentary for the Japanese half of the tournament. This week on Dynamite, Nyla Rose defeated Britt Baker. To me, what a step backwards for everyone involved.
Yeah, I'll admit, I was shocked by that one. I kind of thought that Britt would... Britt would win that, because then you had the potential. Like, first of all, you would have had Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker, which would have been amazing.
Yep.
But like the other side of that is now you're getting, like, to your point, we mentioned this earlier. Like, Britt Baker versus Shida is somewhat of a fresh matchup that we haven't seen for a while since Shida broke her nose. I don't mind the idea of Thunder Rosa versus Nyla Rose, as long as Thunder Rosa wins. If Nyla Rose wins, I don't know if I want to see, like, because I'm assuming that the person coming out of the North American side or the American bracket is going to win the tournament, right? So that means that either Thunder Rosa or Nyla Rose is going to win it. I don't want to see Nyla Rose versus Hikaru Shida again, as much as I like that match.
Hey, I don't want to see Nyla Rose versus Riho, because that would be the next step if Thunder Rosa doesn't defeat Riho here, right?
See, and I don't want to see that either, because again, we've seen it, and
yes,
it didn't work very well. And then what that means is you either going to have Riho versus Shida, which I don't know would go over too well, or Nyla Rose versus Shida, which again, they're fine enough matches. I just don't want to, those are not matches that are interesting to me.
Yeah, I think ultimately you're right. I think that Thunder Rosa is the hot character here.
Yep.
And Thunder Rosa, probably ending up versus Shida is the right call. It would actually be more compelling though if it was Britt Baker making her way through, Britt Baker defeating Shida, and then Thunder Rosa chasing the champion, Britt Baker.
See, in that scenario, to me, is where I think that makes way more sense to have Britt Baker, win the belt at Revolution. Again, I love me some Shida, but I would have no problem if Britt Baker had won that belt.
So let's talk about Revolution. I mean, actually, AEW has a big card coming up this Wednesday night that involves Tully Blanchard stepping back into the ring, which is quite interesting. We've already talked about Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet versus Shaq and Jade. This Paul White speaking. This is actually one, Joe, where all of the weird little elements that are making up this card on Wednesday have me curious to watch it, which is great, because if you do have hype around watching Wednesday, then you can have a bigger number tuning in on Wednesday to then push forward people to tune in on Sunday, their very first Sunday night pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's definitely I don't know if it's a card, like, it's a card that I'm looking forward to, but I don't know if I'm looking forward to in the correct way. Almost like let's take Shaq, that's the obvious match, Shaq and Jade versus Cody and Red Velvet. I'm curious about the match, but more in like a car crash, how bad is this going to be, as opposed to I'm really looking forward to that match.
I think what we're looking forward to is to see how things come together. A lot of storyline elements, a lot of, hey, how are they going to do this? As opposed to the Revolution card, where you're looking at more of, oh, I'm looking forward to this match. For instance, we've got the ladder match on there, right? Like, that should be killer. Along with that, there is actually still the curiosity factor here as well, because Sting is stepping back into the ring. That one, apparently, even though I had my doubts, Meltzer has been told cinematic match. They are still going cinematic match there. You have the Bucks.
Oh, wow.
Yep. You have the Bucks and MJF and Chris Jericho. That should be a hot match. Also, you're dealing with storyline there. And the main event, Joe, and you are a guy who has made it very clear you do not care for stipulation and extreme matches. Omega, Moxley, exploding barbed wire death match. I didn't like the first time these two guys did something like this. The dark match, the unsanctioned match. I'm not looking forward to this. This is my thing.
Well, actually, I'll do you one better. Like, again, I've not been the biggest fan of gimmick matches. So even the ladder match or the cinematic, you know how much I love cinematic matches.
Oh, yeah, you don't. That's right.
So and then on top of that, I have not really been feeling the Adam Page Matt Hardy storyline. So
it's
honestly,
too detailed.
And same with Miro and Kip Sabian and the best friends, like that whole thing. So like honestly, I'll watch it, but I'm not necessarily looking forward to a lot of it.
Jeez, Joe, you're a real negative guy. Real negative, Joe Aguinaldo. What happened to you? What did we do to you when we brought you on board this Sunday night's main event thing? You were so cheery and happy.
It's not you guys. It's the gimmick match stuff. I'm just not a gimmick match guy. And look, again, to reiterate something I said on the All Elite Weekly podcast, like I don't like gimmick matches, but I mean, I did pick a gimmick match as my best match of 2020. But just my natural sort of inclination or my natural bias is, yeah, I'm not really looking forward to any of that stuff.
Well, next week, we're going to do two shows next week. So we're going to have our weekly recap show that we will put out to all the affiliates, and we'll have that posted in the afternoon for you. Along with that, we're going to do a patrons-only after party for AEW Revolution as well. So if you want to be part of that, I believe Mark Andrada will be involved. I believe video will be involved as well. So you get to see Lavransky and I when we talk. People are fascinated by that. But if you want to be able to get interactive next week for the after party show, sign up now, patreon.com/SNMEradio. And we'll have all the details on that on the midweek markout that Mark and I do on Tuesday morning. Joe, we are wrapped up, but I thank you very much for taking time out and co-hosting with me. And I'm really sorry we got you so down and so angry.
It's all good, man. I'll come back with a vengeance next week.
Angry Aguinaldo, I think, might have become a thing.
Well, only for the AEW Revolution pay-per-view.
All right. Hey, guys, we're done for this week. We'll talk to you again next week. Follow along with all of what we do at snmeradio.com. We will talk to you next week right here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Don't you dare miss it. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Would be lovely if you drop us a rating in your podcatcher, iTunes, etc. And along with that, if you want a commercial-free version of this show that is also extended and it comes out early, it's like Sunday afternoon's main event, then you can sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. We may be on the radio, however, this is how the show is actually supported. It's all through you guys and the Patreon. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Thank you.